What's good? My name's Nuria.
And my name is Caroline.
This is the Cathartic Experience. Two therapists talking about life
in an unfiltered way.
Welcome to today's episode. We will be discussing dating struggles. Fun stuff. So before we begin, how have you been?
I've been good. I'm a little bit more tired today, but I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I am hanging on. I think that this has been a week of really connecting with the things I enjoy. I do a lot of writing, creative writing, and I find that super fun. So I usually feel like I'm more grounded when that happens. And I've been able to also spend some time with my family, which has been nice. So yes, so let's just dive into today's topic. There's so much to
explore.
Definitely. So in the age of Tinder and Bumble and Plenty of Fish and Okay Cupid, what else is there? Scout and
there's a new one, the one Hinge.
Hinge. Yeah. There are so many. Oh my gosh. People want to meet one another. People want to date one another. People want to form friendships, which is wonderful. But every single person I know who's ever downloaded Tinder in their lives, it's always been an on and off relationship. It's never been like a consistent, like, I ride or die for Tinder. Mm-hmm. It's like you download it because you're hopeful. And then at a certain point, you're like, I can't handle this shit anymore. And then you delete it. Of course, this may not be the case for everybody, but this is what I ran into when it comes to my own experience and other people.
Right. In my experience, it's been more like, it's the last thing they'll do, right? They're like, I tried the conventional way. It didn't work. I tried meeting people in, well, pre-COVID. I tried meeting people in person. It didn't work. So I guess I'll go on Tinder as like their last hope.
Yeah, last hope. You know, something I find really interesting is running into so many people who talk about, you know, meeting people the conventional way. I just want to like meet someone in person and walk up to them and say hello. First of all, half of y'all are socially anxious. So how are you going to walk up to someone in the middle?
Like, I want to meet someone at like the grocery store. And it's like, come on now.
That's cute. If I see you at the grocery store, I'm walking past.
Right. And my face is not on. So
yo, and I'm staring at the ground or I'm not staring in your eyes.
Exactly.
So it's so interesting to hear people emphasize how often they would like to meet people in person.
Right.
But then not have the social skills to actually support them through that. Which is... I don't mean to put any of y'all on the spot or nothing, but
right. It's almost like a fairy tale. Like, you know, he just saw me and I saw him and we
locked eyes.
Yeah. And it was perfect. But things don't happen that way typically nowadays, right?
They really don't. And I mean, even if they do, just because you meet someone organically, in person, it doesn't necessarily dictate the quality of the relationship you may have with someone. You can meet someone amazing online. You can meet someone amazing in person. You can meet someone who's trash in person.
Right.
So I think people think that because you meet someone in person, you're somehow going to have this amazing connection and the relationship's going to flow smoothly. Right. That's idealizing the process of dating quite a bit. It's actually quite a bit of work if you're willing to put that in. So, let's dive into Tinder. So, a little bit about my experience with Tinder. Tinder days. Oh my goodness. Undergraduate years. That was Tinder central. And I remember just like the act of sitting there and swiping left and right. And then sitting there looking at a picture or pictures or reading
with a small bio
with a tiny ass bio
of like what, not even a full sentence.
Yeah, sometimes a word or three emojis, like sitting there and trying to conceptualize and understand who the person is in terms of pictures. If you had a group, I don't know what the hell you was like. Where
Which
are
one?
You? Which one are you? If you held the fish, it was no go for me. app pictures were no go for me. I think for me around that time, to be quite honest, I was quite self-conscious. So I would strategize my dating in a way that matched my self-esteem at the time. What it was like, it was almost like I felt like I didn't deserve anyone aesthetically appealing. Mm-hmm. Like if there was someone who I believe, like, objectively, this is a really good person. Like, this is a really good looking person. Like, a lot of people would consider this person attractive.
Right.
I would swipe left because I was like, I can't be with that person because I have to stay in my lane. But I would, like, overdo it and go for people who were, like, substantially
not, quote unquote, in your lane.
Yeah. Like, I wasn't even attracted to them.
Then why did you swipe right on them is the question.
Because for me, I wanted to maximize my chances for a connection. Mm. And I almost had it in my head. And this is years and years of beautiful human conditioning. I had it in my head that, like, a good-looking, attractive man wouldn't want someone who's, like, subpar. Like, I had these, like, ideals and expectations for myself that I imposed onto other people. It was really strange, but I didn't feel very good about myself, and I felt like I didn't look good enough. So I was superficial in the sense that I was like, oh, the only thing they're going to care about is how I look, which is a big part of Tinder.
It's like the main part of Tinder.
The main part of Tinder. But at the same time, I kind of stripped away all of the other human qualities, you know?
But it's almost like, don't you think that like it's almost like you have to put yourself on a scale, though, when it comes to online dating. And then you go from where you think you fall on that scale. Like from 1 to 10, where do I fall? And then you're trying to find like someone who would match you. So you do have to like evaluate yourself.
Yeah, but it's weird though, because there have been people I've met in person and you don't meet their face. You meet their whole person. Yeah. You meet their personality. You meet their mannerisms. Mm-hmm. You have interactions with them. And Tinder is just not enough substance. Someone could look amazing and great and be an asshole. Mm-hmm. Someone could look okay and be the most charismatic, enthusiastic person you have ever met. So I feel like it never really gives a complete picture. So when I was on it, I was on there constantly guessing like, okay, is this person superficial? What are their values? Are they someone who love to work out? Are they a person who focuses so much on their aesthetic that there's nothing, no substance to them?
But I feel like we're forgetting to add that a majority of the people who do go on Tinder, like, they're not looking for like a relationship necessarily. Mm-hmm. Maybe some of them are looking for a hookup, right? And so it's mainly focused on how do you look.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And I think, though it is most people who do want to hook up, there are a lot of people who go on looking for just an attachment, a life partner, a relationship. And it's important to acknowledge that as well. And I think that as part of any relationship, you would want to be at a certain level, any level, attracted to who you're with. Because that is part of, you know, wanting to seek out that connection and continue to build on it. There has to be some baseline for sure. But yeah, I think, you know, I would always get really excited when I would get matches. And then you'd get a match and then you kind of read through like what they were like. But because I was in the female mentality where it was like, men have to chase me first. Like, you match with me and, like, I don't care. I'm not messaging you.
Like, they have to message you. They have to make the move. They have to.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I had it in my head at the beginning, but at the end of my journey of RIP Tinder, at the end of my journey, I started to be more open to be the one to message first. But I remember waiting for people to message me, and it was always so generic. Like, hey, 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 hey. Mm-hmm. Like, or like some stupid joke.
Like a flirty joke that didn't land, really.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it was like weird. It was like weird because you're sifting through this catalog and you're like, okay, for example, I have 18 people who have Hayes. I'm looking at each person who I'm attracted to, physically, but also their bio. And then I have to take the next step to answer to them, to see how they interact with me and see how I think and I feel about them. Like, do they approach me in a way that's like aggressive and derogatory, or are they nice, or are they boring? There are so many boring people.
But how, it's almost like, how can you tell someone is boring over, like, you know, beginnings of conversations? Like, I feel like often people try to play it safe, like, hey, how are you? Because that's very, like, generic.
I think you could tell if someone's boring. Like, I genuinely believe that. Because after a certain, so, hey, how are you? Good, and you? Today, I, like, it takes someone who, to build a connection, it's not only, it's not a Q&A. Mm-hmm. Like, don't just answer my question. Add substance. Help me learn about you.
Right.
I don't want to feel like, with some people, you feel like you're pulling teeth. It's like, question, and then another question, and another answer, question. And that's not a conversation.
Right.
And the thing is, most people do feel more comfortable on written platforms because they don't have that face to face. They don't have to, you know, track the other person. They don't have to, you know, sit in the self-consciousness of what are they thinking about me? How do I look? So the written platform is oftentimes like a good way to take advantage of that. And a lot of people don't, especially the people who want hookups. We just said that most people do want hookups.
Right.
So it's like, when you want to hook up with somebody, how much do you actually need to know about them?
Not much.
Not much.
And you, it's almost, you don't want to know much, right? Because then you're developing some sort of deeper relationship with the person. So
so it's really interesting because there are so many options. And another thing that kind of came up, you really start to reflect on your views about just people.
Right.
You know, different races, for example. You know, sitting there and understanding, like, oh, I seem to be like more attracted to this particular race. Like, why is that? Or why do I keep swiping left on this other race? Like, what values have I internalized, or what kind of societal conditioning have I internalized about a particular race of people and how they could potentially be in relationships? So for me, it was a lot of like unlearning stereotypes and expectations I had for people based on how they looked. Which is insane, because I thought of myself as open-minded. And I'm like, well, bitch, you're not really. Like, look at who you swiped right on.
Yeah, but I feel like another aspect of it is like, I guess, swiping right on maybe white guys or Asian guys or whatever, and then having a match. Mm. And then for the conversation to be geared more towards like your race. And yikes. Like, oh, I've never dated a black girl before.
Oh my gosh. I've gotten like the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice. Like, oh my God.
It's so cringe.
Yo, and I literally have gotten like, you're so beautiful for a black girl. Like, I've never dated a black girl before. Like, I'm sorry. Is there like a yearly quota we're supposed to meet? Like what the hell is that about? I don't understand. And to me, that's like, oh, you meet so many people on Tinder who are just so uninformed.
Right.
And I come from a standing where it's like that very feminist base, like understanding the different privileges or the different ways people are discriminated against. And to sit there live, like 2020, live 2019, you know, back whatever year I was dating it, to sit there and have someone say that to me.
You look pretty for a black girl. Yikes. And for them to be like, oh, this is a compliment. Like, they don't understand.
They don't understand.
The underlying message.
They they really don't. So that's definitely one of the difficulties. I think the other thing is just like the upkeep of just like, okay, I messaged, you send a message. I message, you send a message. And I generally just find text messaging and
I'm a very bad texter. I'm not even gonna lie.
Yo, I will wait like 2 months to answer a text if I could, because it's just so.
I'd much rather that you call me.
Exactly. Conversations are so quick. Quick things. Like,
but I found that like back to like Tinder days, Bumble, POF, like when it's time to actually switch platforms and you're met with like a little bit of resistance, that's where I was like, you know what, this isn't gonna Because I don't, I want to get off of the app.
True.
I want to, you know, to have like a phone number, a true. Phone number basis. So if we can't make that switch, it's like, you know what, this, let's wrap this up.
Right, right. And I think another thing, this just really came to mind. It's weird having so many options because I would do this thing. Like I use my imagination quite a bit. So I would almost like, as I'm getting to know someone, try to fit them into my life in my head.
Right. How they would fit into your life.
It's weird. Or like having like these daydreams of what it would be like to meet them, talk to them, interact with them, maybe even meet their fam. Like and it's so weird because sometimes you're doing that with multiple people.
Mm-hmm. And it's very premature.
Very premature.
Mm-hmm. But you're just trying to think about like, how would that person even fit in with like your life, what you do, you know, you're trying to create like a picture of like what it would look like, which makes sense.
Exactly. Exactly. But it's so taxing. And I remember the thing about having too many options was that as soon as it didn't work out with someone, I would already be on there looking for someone else. So it was almost like, because there's an endless supply, I felt the need to like keep up on inventory. I was like, okay, the next one, the next one, the next one. And at a certain point, I just reached this point where I was exhausted, where the getting to know process was so familiar to me, I could do it in my sleep. Mm-hmm. Where it was like, I would get excited for meeting someone, like and getting to know them. But I knew the sequence of things. Okay, so we talk, we meet, we have a date, we have another date at a certain point, and we decide to put a label on the relationship, and then we get closer, I meet your family. Like, to me, it was almost mechanical, where it's like, okay, this is like our to-do.
Like a list.
To-do list of relating. And right. I think that's the thing about having too many options, is that it's almost like, for me, in my experience, I don't want to speak about anyone's experience, but the experience of dating itself, like that, the meaning of it was just stripped away the more I did it, because I did it too often. It's kind of like when you try your favorite food, when you try a food for the first time and you're like, holy shit, this is amazing. Right. And then you eat it again and again and again and again, and you just overdo it because it's your favorite.
You're eating it every day.
Yeah.
Right. And you're not eating anything else. Right.
Okay. And it's just like,
you get tired of it.
You get sick of it. Mm-hmm. And that's what
it loses.
It's
essence almost.
Yeah. It's essence. That excitement, that first feeling that you had of newness. Mm-hmm. At a certain point, dating to me didn't feel new, and that impacted how I dated people. Mm-hmm. So that is my experience when it comes to Tinder itself. The worst was always for me the meeting up, the initial meeting.
Mm-hmm. You would say that was the crucial part for you?
So much goes on in your head. Am I going to get along with this person? Do they look like they look on their profile?
Oh, yeah, true.
How are they going to think about me? How are they going to feel about me? How do I look to them? Are they going to treat me well? Oh my goodness. What if we don't get along? How do I leave this date? There's so many things. Because
did you call me one time when you were on a date? As like an exit strategy? I'm trying to remember.
I might have.
Kind of like, hey, just stay on the phone with me. Stay on the phone with me.
I think I did that. I don't remember what date it was, because honestly, I dated so much.
But that is an exit strategy.
That is
just calling up your friend. She has an emergency. I gotta go.
Yeah, sorry.
And it's like that 5 to 10 minutes of meeting someone, and you're trying to like gauge, okay, what's going to, first of all, are they late? Are they there? Right.
Yeah. How do they interact with you? And for me, it was always a bit daunting because you never know what personality you're going to run into. Because I genuinely enjoy people who are open, engaging, like to tell stories, are very enthusiastic. But like, this is Ottawa. How often do you go find that?
What are you trying to say about Ottawa, though?
I ran into quite a bit of just like people dry. Who have dry ways of being and dry personalities.
Right.
Like, yo, but they're also the ones trying to like get them lips. And it's just like you can
pipe down,
miss these lips. Like, and like
doing too much.
They don't even put in the effort to form an actual connection or attachment with you. Right. And they have this like expectation that you're just going to do what it do. And like, you know, nothing wrong with people who want hookups and stuff like that.
Right.
I think something that's been always bothersome for me is sometimes the sheer transactional nature of it. Where it's like they want the sex, they don't want the person that comes with the sex, you know? Mm. So I've heard of a lot of people's experiences of feeling like they have to, you know, give into that and give their bodies. And then they're always kind of robbed of having that meaningful attachment and connection. And it doesn't mean that you have to be in a relationship with them. They just want you to treat them like a human being. But a lot of people are incapable of doing that because sometimes dating is so transactional. I show up, you give me this.
Mm-hmm. Or who's paying for the date?
Oh.
And how some women, actually let's just say some partners sometimes feel like they owe something to the other person because they're the one that is always paying. Right? But I didn't ask you to pay though.
Right. It's like you owe me.
Right, but I didn't, you propose, like you volunteered, but I could have paid for myself.
The first mistake is that there is an assumption there. Mm-hmm. Like if we are two adults, we're going to have a conversation about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have to talk about that. And right. I know men want to be chivalrous a lot of the times. They want to take care of things, which is wonderful, which is great. But to do that and then have an expectation that something will happen.
It's the worst. And it makes you feel
pressured.
Yeah.
Because it's like
not where you want to be at.
If I knew this was your expectation,
I wouldn't even showed up.
Exactly. Or I would have felt like I had a choice.
Right.
At least give me a choice.
Mm-hmm.
At least let's talk about like, okay, what are you expecting to happen on this first date if you come with a fake?
Have you ever been on a date and like the person doesn't have their wallet?
I actually haven't. I think on all of my first dates they've paid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something I've always been, you know, grateful for.
Right.
But eventually, like if I develop a relationship with the person, I would reciprocate. Have you?
I have been on a date when they didn't have their wallet. Oh, Jesus and Christ. Then just struggles all over.
I am
but
dead.
I've been on I'm trying to think. No, in my case, like I've tried to split. But because you know when like the vibe is just not it and you don't want to
engage any
further and you're like, you know what?
Yeah. Let me just pay myself out.
Yeah. This one. Yeah. And then I guess our second topic would be more about like moving forward.
Ugh,
right. Really? When it's like, it's been a couple of dates now.
Yeah.
Right. More, like more than three. More than three. We've been talking for maybe around like a month to 6 months. And it's like, okay, where is this thing? You know, what is this? Right. Yeah, what is this? What is the nature of this relationship?
In addition to meeting the person in person, I think that was another thing I found really hard.
Right.
You know, trying to understand where their minds were at in terms of me and where I was at in terms of them and how to decide if or whether a relationship was going to come out of us connecting with one another. And I think, you know, thinking back, I'm like, if it was hard for us to figure out if we should have been in a relationship, the answer was probably no.
Right.
Because now I find it easier to assess a lot quicker who I want to be in my world. And maybe that was me in the past experimenting or getting to know myself through seeing how I interact with other people and what I liked. But I felt like if there was a big question mark around what are we doing, we mm-hmm. probably shouldn't be doing that.
Right. But I feel like there's, well, in my experience, mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, which, who am I trying to bring up?
without saying no names.
Without saying no names. So in my experience, it's been trying to like decode, what is it that you want from this? Right. Mm. It's been 3 months. It's been 3 months. And it's like, okay, I want to be like in a relationship with this person.
Right.
What do you want? Like I've made my, you know, I made myself clear. What do you want? And the, you know, having,
I don't know.
Like, I don't know, you know, can you give me more time? I'm talking to someone else. Da, da, da. Okay. But it's been 3 months. By this time, you should know, right? Where you want this to go. And I feel like in some relationships, it's like, I don't want to let go of you because you might be like a plan B while I try to discover what I want.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to cut off people. But it's almost like you have to do that because it's you know, starting to be something that starts turning into something that's like maybe not healthy.
Just to clarify, you're talking about being in the plan B position?
Being in the plan B position.
Okay.
By that I mean
plan B.
Yeah. Cause okay. It's like, I want to be with you, but I'm not done with my like exploring.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you were.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah. I know exactly. I got a flash. I had some PTSD right there. But no, I know exactly who you're talking about. And he very much so was very indecisive. But also leading you on. And I think that, you know, in this day and age, because there are so many options, it can be difficult for some people to know what they're looking for, what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes in people's minds, when they think of being with someone, they think of one.
Right.
And I'm not here to discount, you know, polyamorous relationships and like that stuff exists and you can have multiple woo-woo party over here. But a lot of people are reflecting on, that
monogamous relationship.
Yeah. So in choosing that one, what am I missing out on?
But that was the thing. Cause it was like, kept telling me like, I, you know, you could be my wifey.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But
he said that?
Yeah. But
you didn't tell me.
But at the same time, it was like, cause it was like, where are we going? Like, I can't just be your plan B while you're out here. Because he had like a feeling of, is there something else out here?
Right. So you never felt as if you could actually
commit. So at some, you know, you just have to cut off.
I think if someone's very ambivalent, if one party is very ambivalent about the commitment and the other one is certain, the person who's certain to just walk and go, at least for now, at least until the person makes up their mind, because you're just wasting your time.
You're just wasting your time.
And it's kind of disrespectful. You know, you're not an item that's being placed on hold at the library. Like this is not what it is. You're a whole human being. You have your own, you know, world. You have your own thoughts, beliefs, plans, aspirations, all that stuff. And to be someone's backup, it's like, well,
that's not,
that doesn't feel very good.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good. So at some point you do have to walk away.
And it's like, even if you do end up dating the person at a certain point, how do you know they're not going to put you in that backup position again when they find it convenient for themselves?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if you're not ready to date me, I can just go, honey. I don't have to wait.
But I feel like the ratio between like meeting someone and having something meaningful with them versus all of these like... I don't want to say not like insignificant, but relationships that don't pan out.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like 1 to 50 to meet someone that you really connect with, like with all of these swipes to actually find someone that it's like, oh.
The ratio is 1 to 50.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 1 to 250. Like
you know, when you're on Tinder and you've swiped so much. It's blank.
You ran out of people.
And then you have to put like a wider, what is it?
Radius?
Radius.
Oh my goodness.
And you find that you're like in New York.
Dad!
And you live here in Ottawa. Or you're like all the way at Toronto. That's how much you swiped.
Yo. Like you're so right. It's hard to find people who connect with. Because, and I think we could talk about this more in another podcast, but a lot of people are fronting. A lot of people are playing games. Like this game of, for example, who could care less? Which one of us two could care less? You hear like people say dumb stuff like, oh, if you always want to be in a relationship where the man cares about you more than you care about him.
Or the other person is working more than you are.
Exactly. And it's just like, what does that say about, you know, partnership and reciprocity?
Right.
Like what kind of, what are we and trying meaning. To do?
Just
are we trying to make sure that we feel less vulnerable in our relationships? Like, do we feel more protected when we have to give less of ourselves? Like, we really have to decode that whole notion of, you know, the less I show you that I care for you, the stronger I am, or the stronger the upper hand
that's
I have.
That's not how a relationship works, right?
Like an actual relationship.
Or like the, we went on a date today, you know, you have to wait 3 days to text the person, and the all rules? Of these like rules that don't make no sense.
I think the people that I've had the best relationships with were where we had no rules.
You just text them.
You want to talk to me? Talk to me. You don't want to talk to me? Let me know. But don't go around dodging and hiding and waiting, counting the hours until you can respond back. That's some stupid shit. That's like literally high school.
Playing games. That's playing games.
Playing games. And sorry if I'm calling you out or you feel like I'm calling you out. Well, but it is what it is. It takes a lot of work.
I feel like, I don't know, once you reach a certain age and you see something for yourself, and you're really trying to have something meaningful,
you're done with the games.
You're done with the games.
Throw the games away. You want something real? Throw away the games. That's and if you find it truly difficult to, you know, be open or be vulnerable, go work on it in therapy or with yourself. Because relationships,
personal development,
being in a relationship that is long lasting takes work. And it's not labor intensive in that it's hard, but it takes effort. And it takes effort on so many levels, the personal, the interpersonal, awareness, behaviors. It takes so much just, you know, constant tracking. You have to be empathetic with your partner. You have to keep them in mind in your decisions. Right. You have to do all these things. So it's like games aren't going to help you do that.
Right.
It's just going to help you protect
blurring
yourself.
Everything.
Yeah, blurring so many things.
You have to decode, what did that text message mean? Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Which is just...
Just tell the truth.
It's too much. It's too much.
Easier said than done, but I do hope that we will get to unpack dating quite a bit more. Yes. It seems to be like our favorite topic so far. Like we went in with this topic.
I feel like it's because we see it like... on our day to day.
Oh, true. And we experienced it. Like, we had a good, like, undergrad.
Undergrad, yeah.
What a time to be alive. Wow. So, reflection question of the day. I think I would ask, in terms of dating, what have you put up with that you absolutely regret?
That's a good question.
So think about that. And this we will leave you with.